Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Mark, you are all fired up over a politician who has apparently got some kind of brain damage.
Yeah, so I'm not...
Now, we don't just mean the fact that he loves the government, that kind of brain damage. There's some kind of, like, tumor.
John McCain's sick. He had some kind of blood clot. Then they did some
scans. He's sick in more than one way.
And they found out that he has brain cancer. And he is apparently, you know, going to receive treatment while doing his job. There's been some incidents where he's been kind of confused.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that one night here on Free Talk Live. People were wondering why he was so discombobulated during some kind of hearing that he was attending.
Yep, he's old and, you know...
What, is he in his 80s?
I don't know, but he doesn't look young.
No.
And, you know, I get confused now, let alone as you get older, it just happens. I go visit a good friend of mine who's, I think, 84 or 85.
80 years old, I just checked.
Yep, and my friend's in the nursing home, and sometimes he forgets what day it is and stuff.
Right.
You know, and you just talk and keep things going. Now, my friend doesn't have one of 100 votes that passes or stops laws that get, you know, that affect all of us.
I think this is, in my opinion, irresponsible to have a brain, you know, tumor, be out of it, and yet still want to be holding on to power. I mean, it's irresponsible to use power over people, period. But, you know, if you're going to have the power, probably best to keep your wits about you.
What my thought on this is come on, people. I'm supposed to feel bad about a politician, you know, a guy who's been in there a long time. You can't call John McCain anything but the establishment.
Right.
I know that he wants to take this maverick title because sometimes he works with the other team, but that's not maverick. You know, that's just
it's politics.
Politics is. Yeah. So if you want me to feel bad about this, you're going to have to make a really good case.
To feel bad that John McCain is suffering from a brain tumor.
Right. And, like, I don't want to, you know, for me, this is just sort of a jumping off point to a greater conversation, a conversation that I'm much more passionate about. Now, I just, you know, I was at a jiu-jitsu tournament today, and I'm really hyped up. It was really exciting. It was at the Flow Jiu-Jitsu Studio in Swansea.
So you're hyped up, and you were too sick to even play in the tournament, though.
Yeah, but I helped.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a cough and stuff. And I don't want to share. Nobody wants to share my cough, right? Mm-hmm. You know, go home with the medal, but take a cough with you.
Mark, you'd asked a question before we went away there about, you know, if you're not a citizen, what are you? And you were basing that on court decisions from the Supreme Court that have said that the government has no obligation to protect, and then looking at the definition of citizen from a legal dictionary that says that a citizen is a person who owes a duty of allegiance in return for an obligation of protection, asking, well, you know, you don't meet the qualifications for citizen because they don't have an obligation to protect. So therefore, what are you? Was that right. Your question?
That's kind of the question. Basically, the question is, what if you're not a citizen, what are you? Now, people can counter with and say, look, there are new definitions of citizen, which is basically a person born in a particular area. And yes, if you're born in a particular area, a government's going to claim you as their citizen. Now, you didn't have anything to do with that. You were just born there and the government claimed you. And, you know, how did they do that exactly? What if you wanted to not be a citizen? What
well, you said, can leave, apparently.
You can leave, but try to not be a citizen. We've actually, you know, tried to find people, and we've talked to people who have attempted to give up all citizenship of anywhere. Because the fact that you don't want a U.S. citizenship does not mean that you're a heartless commie or something.
I know karma.
Yeah.
Karma is a terrible person. And that's all I got to say about John McCain.
You're saying he's getting his just desserts?
Well, you know, I hate seeing people suffer. I really do. But at the same time, how many millions of people has he voted to kill?
Or at least been involved in their killing. Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, I mean,
now, okay, so that's kind of, it can be difficult to quantify the amount of people who have died in foreign wars and, you know, on both sides in the last 20 years or anything like that. For instance, if you look at the Iraq conflict, you'll get numbers from the State Department at like 125,000. But if you look elsewhere, you can get numbers of upwards to 1 million. And it depends on, you know, what deaths they're counting. You know, is it from the destabilization or is it directly, do you have to have a bomb hit your head? You know, and it just depends.
You talk about the Constitution and how we get liberty and everything, but then it turns right around and says that they can take your life with due process. This is the problem. That makes the Constitution one of the most restrictive documents ever deceitfully forged, because if you have all these things like property rights and you have a situation where you say, I'm going to set up an operation and cook food here, and I'm going to make a living for my family, the Board of Health can surely shut you down and deprive you of making a living.
Didn't they just go after some little girl's lemonade stand somewhere, as a matter of fact?
They're desperate. But the thing about it is, we have slipped up and let our politicians, in our name, fashion statutes and so forth, state and national, that have really destroyed us, and they legislate against us in every way.
Sure.
All the books are filled with laws that they have legislated against us and rebuked us and just dogged us out. So,
and you know what? As long as people are going to keep going along to get along, they're going to get more of the same.
One thing that crossed my mind about John McCain is, you know, I feel bad that he's going to suffer through this cancer, but I'm glad his politics will mostly be gone. But he's not going to be going to a VA hospital. You know that? You know, he's going to be going to some megabuck senator hospital with the best treatment. And he's not going to have to suffer in these VA hospitals like
Great
every
point.
Other veteran in America.
Yeah, it's true.
To me, it's the worst thing.
Yeah, you know, even the politicians in Great Britain, they stick with that national health care service. Now, it may be mediocre, but they stick with it. It seems like politicians here should have to use the VA system.
Yeah, but you know they're still going to get preferential treatment.
That's
even
the socialized system. At the very least, they're in the same rooms with mold on the walls. And if not, somebody went and cleaned the mold off the wall, and the next guy who goes in there doesn't have a room with mold
okay,
on the walls.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you make a point there. Rick, more you want to share?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, also, I wanted to ask you guys, in your opinion, if you think that with the passing of John McCain, do you think there's any hope for movements to enter the mainstream politics, like movements specifically towards getting us out of the Middle East, just no more foreign wars? Do you think that
not just because this one guy died?
The deers that are born on my land, the government claims.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
I feed them. I raise them. They were born here, but they claim them. I'm basically running a game farm for the king.
Right.
Well, you know what happened when the serfs would hunt on the king's land? That was an act punishable by death.
Yeah, they'd string it right up. And, you know, I got to go buy a license to harvest the fish God gave us. And these guys want a piece of everything.
Yep. And deer, I mean, giant forest rats, and they still want a license for it. I suppose I can understand them sort of managing the numbers and those sorts of things, but by God, I know some people who manage to do enough hunting, and I presume they do all that hunting during hunting season, because I would never dream of calling my friends out. But I know some people that keep their freezers full, and you know, one of them was so bold as to say he hasn't been to the grocery store in 5 years.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, you got to remember, too, that the sportsmen are the ones that supply all the money for the game management.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why that bureaucracy even exists. Why not just eliminate the entire thing and let the market decide based on private property ownership, and, you know, the people that want to protect the deer, they can buy land and, you know, breed deer on that land and let them run about that place. And then
I would guess the reason is this, because there are other animals that they don't want to let, you know, just uncontrolled hunting on.
Mm-hmm.
And those animals, they need the money from the deer licenses.
Yeah, but if you abolish the bureaucracy, they don't need the money anymore because they're gone.
But the other animals is what they want to control. They don't care that much about deer.
I'm no expert on anything, but somewhere in the Constitution it says that the government's supposed to provide for the common good and promote the general welfare.
It says that, yeah.
That goes out, it's somewhere in there. Don't tell me what line. I don't know what line. Would you explain that to these right-wing nut jobs that think that the government isn't supposed to take care of your ass? That's why we pay taxes. That's why we elect these rotten bastards, is to take care of us.
Well, I don't want them to take care of me.
But they don't.
It's their job.
But I don't want that.
I know they don't. They were supposed to, though.
But
and
why? Why would we even want
government.
That?
The government's not the government's job to take care of your ass. Yeah, it is.
But I'm not
yelling at you.
But why would somebody want the government to take care of them? They suck at everything they do. They are terrible.
Well, I'm just saying, you were talking earlier about how they don't have a right to protect you. By God, they do.
No. You misunderstood. Wait. You misunderstood. We didn't say anything about right to protect.
Obligation.
The claim is they have an obligation to protect in return for an
provide for the common good and promote the general welfare.
The thing is, they don't. The thing is, they don't.
They should. I know they don't.
Why? Why would you want that?
Well,
can you explain that?
Because I pay taxes and I elect these bastards. I want some freaking.
Wouldn't you rather to just
healthcare.
Not pay the tax? You know, why not? Why not just keep the money that you earn?
Well, how are we going to have a government? When you
why
don't
would
have
you
any
want
taxes?
One?
Money.
Why would you want one? What are they doing
you
for you?
You got to have a government. Everything. I don't care if you're an Indian in a tribe. You have a government.
But you have tribal leaders.
Let me ask you this.
Whatever the service is, wouldn't it be better to get your money back for whatever that service might be from the local, state, or federal government and being able to give it to some other organization who would be...
What other organization? They're all corrupt. They're all a bunch of corrupt bastards. Everybody out there, human beings are corrupt, rotten bastards.
Well, that is a cynical view, and that explains...
It's true. It's absolutely true. If you want to know whether the government should make sure that you have health care, you just need to look at how the government functioned in 1789, right? Like,
what do you mean by that?
Well, was it making sure that people had health care in 1789?
No.
Then the answer is no, it doesn't need to today either. I realize that's a very originalist point of view. So let's look at another point of view. Let's look at a practical point of view. What has the government done well?
They went to the moon.
Yeah, but
some people don't believe that.
Outlawed competition. And now organizations are launching into space at significantly less cost.
Sure.
They're recycling stages. They're doing all kinds of different things, innovative things that the government wasn't doing. And
because space travel's been opened up to some extent.
Right. And so, to some extent, people were – now, the government went to the moon. We are still paying the interest on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, the debt's only gotten bigger since the mid-60s.
Right.
And – you can't claim that even the principals necessarily has been paid on the NASA missions. And who's to say that that was important? I guess it was important in the creation of ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, because you needed to be able to shoot them over there and land them in Moscow or something, mm-hmm. half a globe away. But that would be the only sort of argument for it from a individual standpoint.
I want to complain about healthcare a little bit.
Sure.
Originally, there was the whole thing of the Cadillac healthcare plan, and these cruel and evil people who had jobs that offered benefits. Well, I've spoke with you once before. I'm a coal miner in West Virginia. Mm. I have been for the past 15 years.
It's
my
a tough
father
job.
Was a coal miner for years. I love it.
Wow.
I couldn't ask for anything better.
God has blessed people like you, man. I appreciate that hard work.
On.
Yep.
Thank you. It a lot of people think we're evil and we're cruel and we destroy mountains and it's nothing like that.
I bet you tease each other down there though, don't you?
What's that?
I bet you tease each other down there in them holes, don't you?
Oh, it's fun. It's very fun.
See, you are you're a little cruel.
A little bit, but we were offered before the Obamacare debacle. We were offered healthcare through our company, and it was very good insurance. I could take my children to the doctor and not have to pay very little out of pocket.
Okay.
But I earned that job. I applied myself and I earned what we had.
Yeah.
Not only myself, but all the other miners did.
It's part of
that
your pay.
That was one of the benefits. Right. That was one of our benefit packages. Well, after Obamacare came in, they had to drop our pay and we started having to pay out of pocket, and we still do, for our insurance,
mm-hmm.
which is not right.
These are the same people that are shutting down lemonade stands. And again, just because this story is coming out of London doesn't mean it hasn't happened in a state or city near you. We've read countless stories like this. So 5-year-old girl, daughter of Andre Spicer, was set up at a place called Mile End in East London, where thousands of music fans were on their way to the Love Box Festival over the weekend. Sounds like a great location, right? You're in a place where thousands of people are going to be driving by. You're going to sell some lemonade.
Spread a little joy and love through lemonade.
Unfortunately, she was doing that until the police showed up. Exactly how many officers did it take to shut down the lemonade stand, Mark?
Well, they've got nothing better to do. Eight?
That's a little high. Four. Okay. Four whole officers. As Spicer, her dad, explains, quote, but after a small time trading, four enforcement officers walked over from the other side of the road. He says, I was quite shocked.
Needed some backup. Dad's here. Backup. Back up.
I thought that they would just tell us to pack up and go home, but instead of telling the five-year-old that she should not be selling lemonade without a permit, which would have been atrocious enough, these hero cops protected society by issuing her a fine for £150, nearly $200 US.
Did they give it to her or him?
That's not clear. Maybe there is a BBC story here, so I could probably see if they clarify, because sometimes the Free Thought Project isn't as clear.
Yeah, the Free Thought Project has loaded language. I generally click through and get their source. I know you like the loaded language, but I prefer to.
I like calling it what it is. These guys are thugs. These cops are scum.
I live in Washington State. I'm right on the coast. In fact, I'm driving on the beach right now.
All right.
But, we got towns here, Aberdeen, Hoquiam, Ocean Shores, where I'm at. They're giving people a hard time because they have too many garage sales. They want them to get a permit. And, you know, to me, it's just a bunch of money-hungry pigs, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how dare anybody tell another person that they can't put their own stuff out in their own front lawn for, you know, a number of hours on, you know, multiple days to try to sell it to their neighbors? I mean, it's just outrageous that some government bureaucrat feels that they need to get a piece of that action for what? You're going to get 25 cents for, you know, half the items there, maybe 50 cents for the other half? I mean, I don't know. I've had garage sales before. You don't tend to walk away with a mint when you're done.
No, exactly. And they're trying to treat it like it's a regular business, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going, no. I know, I'm 70 years old. I know people that are older than me that help their own little pocketbooks by doing that.
You should have a right to your property to do as you want with your property. You should
sell
your
used stuff.
Yeah, and sell it from your land or the land that you're renting, so long as your landlord doesn't have a problem with it. That should be the only say, so long as the deed restrictions don't have a problem with it, because some people do get into deed-restricted communities because they don't want to see their neighbors with...
Yep. With all the grass has to be cut perfectly. The
garage sales.
The shrubs have to be aligned
right.
Exactly 3.5 feet between each trunk. You know, like, and all those things. If that's what you want,
that's what you should have.
Yeah,
and that's what in those deed-restricted neighborhoods people have agreed to. But if I don't want to live in a place like that, if, let's say, I value my freedom to do what I want on my property, and in return I'm willing to grant others their freedom to do what they want, then I think we can just all get along just fine without having some government shoving down our throats regulations about how you can't sell lemonade, how you can't have a garage sale, how you can't do X, Y, or Z unless you pay the permitting fee. Now, in the case in London, where a five-year-old girl and her father were fined £150, which is approximately $200 US.
Yeah, getting close, 175.
Yeah, according to the Free Thought Project and the BBC. The BBC story is actually a little bit shorter, but they do have the list of street trading license rules. And I suspect these are a truncated list. These are like the basic rules for if you want to operate a market stall, you'll need a street trading license. There are two types of street trading licenses, temporary and permanent. The application fee for both of those licenses is £75.
I'm responding to Richard in Ocean Shores, Washington.
Okay.
I'm about 10 miles out in Aberdeen, and I do understand about the garage sale issue, because these people that are being cracked down on are not running garage sales. They are actually, for a fact, purchasing like the storage sheds worth of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then they're taking that and going home and acting like it's a garage sale. It's daily or it's 4 days a weekend, say Friday through Monday. The neighbors, you know, with the traffic and all that, they're, yeah, getting really annoyed. A garage sale isn't an issue. But the same thing is also going on with a website. I'm not sure if I can name it or not. Can I name a website?
What's it doing?
People just go on there and get they put their name on there and they sell items.
Like eBay?
It's similar to eBay, but they're all over the place in local areas.
Okay.
How is this a problem exactly?
A website?
Well, there's people that have been factually, visibly photographed and filmed buying objects with their food stamps at different stores, and then they're recognized online on this particular website selling these items for a dollar a piece for cash.
Why does it bother you? If you're not the person who's next door to them and they're not the ones, you know, parking in your driveway or whatever, you know, causing issues, because I can see how they could cause an issue.
I can't have a business out of my home.
Well, you should be able to, shouldn't you?
I would like to,
yeah.
But legally I cannot.
Well,
and
see, here's,
I don't
here's
have
the problem.
The funds to
here's,
be able to fight that. To
yeah,
be able
no, I get
to
what you're
it.
Saying. And here, but here's the problem, Kathy, and I thank you for the call tonight, by the way. The problem is she wants the freedom to do what she wants from her home. She realizes she can't hire an attorney to fight the law. You can't fight City Hall or whatever. You're not going to have these things overturned likely, easily, or cheaply. It's not worth it to do that. So she realizes that. So at the same time, because she can't do it, she figures, well, nobody else should be able to do it either. And she's going to support the government cracking down on these entrepreneurs who are buying up, you know, stuff from, allegedly, from, you know, storage lockers and then reselling
Look,
them.
Whether
the front-
everybody's doing it or not is obviously unlikely, but somebody is doing it. Somebody somewhere is going to.
But the problem is when you are asking for the government to crack down on, you know, other people who are doing what you ultimately would like to do.
I'm a certified NRA instructor.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my way home from work today, and I ride a bus to get back and forth to work. And I was told that I cannot ride the bus with my gun in the open.
Mm.
Now, Indiana law says that, A, you do not have to carry concealed. B, you can be in any public space that is supported by tax dollars. Our bus system is definitely supported by tax dollars.
Yeah.
They just passed a referendum that says I have to pay an extra $40 a year for the bus to go to the suburbs to bring the suburban downtown to go to work.
Okay.
And the Indiana Appellate Court just said that you cannot ask a person to see their carry permit just because you notice that they have a gun.
Excellent.
Reason being, because that's just like stopping every driver you
right.
see to see if they have
right.
a license.
Because having a gun openly does not mean you're committing a crime, because it's legal to open carry is what you're saying in Indiana.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And I was just surrounded by five police officers
oh boy.
Who forced me to leave the bus station.
Wow.
So I'm really sorry that happened to you. And often when laws get are sort of new, people... You know, law enforcement doesn't know. They don't know exactly what to do. The memo didn't get around yet. And so what I
yeah,
would
but this
do,
isn't a new law. Open carry's not new, right?
No, forever. You in Indiana, it has never said whether you can carry.
I'm sorry,
no,
I thought it was a new
law
state.
Law has always been as far as open carry goes.
Yeah. This is
in
just
Indiana,
bureaucrats.
It has always been.
This is just bureaucrats
it's
being
just,
power mongers, that's
I'd,
all.
I'd get a hold of the Indiana State Rifle and Pistol Association and talk to them. It's unlikely the ACLU will take this. This isn't their kind of bag.
But ultimately, it is the kowtowing. It is the obedience to
yeah.
these men with badges and bureaucrats, these officious bureaucrats who try to order people around, that is the problem in the first place. That's what creates the regulatory just nightmare that we have found ourselves in. We were talking about government restrictions on garage sales and lemonade stands, and it's the fact that people go along with these regulations, even though they disagree with them. They'll go along with them griping and, you know, complaining about it, but it's the fact that you do what you're told is what makes them keep telling you what to do.
Well, to some extent, but...
Well, if people didn't do what they were told, then, you know, they'd have to give up at some point.
If the gentleman had been able to pull out his cell phone and record the conversation,
yeah,
then he would have on video his right to bear arms being compromised.
If he was using cell 411, because if you go to getcell411.com and you use that, because it's got a streaming video function in it, it's an emergency services app that allows you to a decentralized emergency notice app. Basically, it allows you to send out an alert to your friends who you've kind of connected with in the program. So your friend has to have cell phone one as well. But you send out an emergency alert saying, I'm being messed with by the police. And then, do you want to stream live video? Yes. And so then you're streaming live video. And one of the coolest features about Cell 411 is that there's an option you can turn on. I don't think it's on by default, so check your settings on this. But there's an option where you can make a fake delete button.
As far as I'm concerned, every police officer that turns off their chest cam and then looks like they might have committed a crime should get life in prison immediately. Wow. Right away, you turn off that chest cam. You've been issued a chest cam by the public,
right,
by the people who pay your freaking paycheck. And I know you don't like to hear that we pay your paycheck, but that's where the money comes from. Admittedly, we don't sign the paycheck, but the money's stolen so that you can go about your business. You turn off that chest cam, and then you do something that's, I presume that then the burden of proof is upon you to prove that you didn't commit a crime.
Yeah, sure.
That man should be charged with murder.
Indigo, despite the name, is actually not a public entity. It is a corporation.
Oh.
And
this is
so
the bus
in
system?
Indiana, yeah.
He seemed to believe that they were taking public money.
Owned. Well, the way that Indiana does a lot of things like that is to kind of partner with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Red Line is not... it's not that they're giving money to Indigo. It's a joint venture, so it's investment from Indigo plus taxpayer funds from the city to pay for a new
thing.
Well,
and that's public as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it says here on their website that they are Indianapolis Public Transportation Corporation. So just because the government created themselves a corporation to do their, transporting business.
The CIA calls themselves the company.
No, I know, but the point is, if you look at the way that they're filed as a company, they're not a public entity. They are a regular corporation.
Well, and governments are corporations too.
That
right?
Sounds like a dance step around rights, is what that sounds like.
No, because the point is, it's not a public entity. It's not public property.
It's an entity whose sole job is to provide public transportation and receives that mandate from the government. Is that correct?
No, that's not actually the definition of public.
No, I didn't ask you if that was the definition of public. I asked you if that was the definition of the Indigo company. Is it a company that was created solely to run public transportation for Indiana?
So as far as the particular details of how it started, I don't have that answer.
Corporations are just legal fictions. The government itself is just a corporation. These are, a corporation ultimately is just a file folder. This is an idea, a legal construct that has been come up with by attorneys. So, it gives attorneys more jobs and, things to do and charge people for.
Corporation's a lie that allows people to dodge their responsibilities.
Yeah.
That's
in this case, the responsibility to allow you to carry your gun openly.
I got no problems with profits. I got no problems with businesses. A corporation is a way to dodge responsibility.
Yes. And so this happens frequently. There's in this area, there's the Monadnock Economic Development Corporation. Guess what? It's part of the government because they spun it all, spun this thing off that they do into its own corporation. The Keene Housing Authority, that's its own corporation.
I live in San Antonio, and I was on the bus last year, and the bus driver informed me that I was actually on a federal vehicle. Somehow or another, our federal government has its fingers tied into public transportation all over the country.
They're sending out money, grants, and things like that.
And because it was a federal vehicle, if I committed a crime on the bus, I could get charged federally.
That's insane.
And I'm believing that this is why the police reacted the way they did to him opening and carrying on the bus in Indianapolis.
That's an interesting claim.
I said, I guess those cops never read the Constitution, the part where it says shall not be infringed. All right, laugh track, go ahead.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more all for free at freetalklive.com.